on 666 ABC Canberra. It's 12 minutes to 10 and still 10 degrees. The Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse hearings are now taking place around the country. The first public hearings have gotten underway in the last week or two. The private hearings have already been operational for some time, including here in Canberra. It's very hard to hear those stories coming out. You might have heard me speak to Wilma Robb a couple of weeks ago about her experience in giving testimony. Many of those stories, horrific, deeply damaging for the victims. The Australian Catholic Church is making its submission to the Royal Commission, and with me now is the Chief Executive of the Truth, Justice and Healing Council, set up a little earlier this year by the Church. Francis Sullivan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Genevieve.
What does your formal submission to the Commission contain?
Well, as we said, we would fess up. It would be a warts and all history, which is confronting and shocking, actually. It goes back many decades. It also talks about the efforts in the last 20 years that the Church has put in place to professionalise how they've dealt with allegations. And we've faced up to the criticisms that people have got about what's called Towards Healing, which is the official set of protocols used by the Church.
Is this effectively an admission of guilt from the Church?
Well, in the opening of the submission, in the very first page, there's about a 9-point statement that recognises in the past there have been cover-ups, there have been crimes, there has been mismanagement and bungling, bad advice taken. In other words, there's an admission of the failure, an admission of the times when they put the interest of the Church ahead of victims, and they were worried more about the scandal for the Church and the institution than they were for victims.
Now, this is perhaps an inevitable but nonetheless very significant change in direction for the Church based on, as you've described, a long history of cover-ups. Tell me where that direction comes from.
Well, I think it's been a slow train coming, but, you know, anybody can claim the authorship. The more the point is that our council has been asked to give independent advice. Now, our council's been very clear in the it's not a year, it's about 10 months since we've been going, that one thing we've recognised is that the Church's pastoral response, how it needs to assist people in what becomes the long-term impacts of sex abuse. How are we going to be with people over the long term? That's one major activity, and we don't want that contaminated, if you like, by the legal side of things, where the Church also has an obligation to contribute to a financial settlement. So we want to split the two. That's one of the things we're signalling in the submission.
Now, those certainly, on many people's argument, would be past failings, that contamination, that cross-contamination.
Sure.
We might discuss that more in just a moment. But tell me about this new complaints body that is proposed within the submission.
Yes, and can I say, these are proposals.
Yep.
We've got to do a lot of work yet, and they're not commitments yet, because the way the Catholic Church works, you know, you've got all the archbishops and all the religious leaders, they're all their own authorities. And part of the process and part of the criticism, Genevieve, has been a little bit like, depending upon where you lived, in what part of Australia, sometimes determined the type of outcomes you received when you went towards the Church. It hasn't been uniform and consistent. It hasn't been transparent. It hasn't been accountable. It hasn't had independent oversight. Now, they're major criticisms that we've heard, and we are now going to walk down the path of putting in place proposals to the bishops and the religious leaders of a new way forward. One of the suggestions is for a national board, independent directors, who will have oversight of how things are run, who will monitor how things are run, and who will report, and those reports can be public.
And the interesting thing about this is that the suggestion is that new board would be led by the laity. Why?
Well, I think independence has to also be seen to be independent.
Yeah.
And oversight needs to be seen to be based on expertise. And one of the criticisms, again, is things have been too in-house.
Does that also, though, reflect a lack of trust in the priesthood and the religious leadership of the Church in individual dioceses, that after those revelations of cover-ups and of shifting abuses around, that people no longer believe that the Church leaders will necessarily act in good faith?
I think we have to admit that the leadership and the past history has really wrecked the credibility of the Church in the broader community and actually within the Catholic community itself, that we need to make steps that demonstrate that we're dinkum about running things properly and that we are prepared to be scrutinised accordingly.
Would this new body also address issues of compensation, distinct from the legal processes?
Well, at the moment, we're not clear about that. I mean, the one thing we are clear is there needs to be a separation. I mean, in our submission, as a matter of fact, we sort of signal to the Royal Commission that it may be possible that the Royal Commission itself will call for some type of national compensation scheme, and we're not trying to nobble that. As a matter of fact, if that's where they want to go, then the church would contribute like everybody else to that, and on we go. Our problem with that is that the Royal Commission will recommend some years for now, and they may run into constitutional issues about that. So we want to do something in the interim, and if it means that what we do now morphs into something that the Commission wants, so be it. So we've got to just be careful that we don't set up structures for structure's sake, but that we do make it clear that the long-term impacts of child sex abuse are far better known now than they were 20 years ago, and people need long-term assistance in practical ways, not just with money settlements. And I'm not trying to signal that we're not going to do both. I'm simply saying they need to be managed separately.
But nobbling was the very criticism of the Towards Healing process as it began, that there was an adversarial approach, that there was an attempt to limit compensation payouts, and that was perceived by many as pushing matters under the carpet by offering a minimal amount of compensation and promising that that would obviate the necessity of going through a long, drawn-out court process. Will this new approach be significantly different if indeed it does involve compensation?
Well, we've heard all those criticisms, and that's partly what we reflect in our submission. Suffice to say, that's the type of issue that's on the table as we now move forward to try and put together some type of hard proposals, if you like, implementation proposals. The church, you'd expect me to say this, but I think it is actually true, that when they designed Towards Healing, it was a seismic shift away from the defensive, litigious mindset towards let's address issues for individuals. I cop the fact that over time there's been a real leaking of those two things together again, and that is counterproductive.
Well, if we see the court cases that have taken place, and I had lawyer Jason Parkinson, who represented the Canberra sexual abuse victims,
yes,
on the program just this week, because right, one or two of those matters that have been through the courts here in the ACT have come out. There's a compensation payment of $135,000 that's believed to be very much at the lower end of the scale.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is a key question as to whether the church has effectively tried to prevent that level of compensation and being liable for that level of compensation. The costs are enormous. So is the church now conceding that you will have to cop the costs?
Well, I think the church is conceding in a sense that, one, there needs to be a cleaner process when it comes to financial settlements. But, Genevieve, it's very interesting, and I'm sure that lawyers will say this to you, that in many cases, when people are actually wanting something, if you like, settled, the perpetrator's dead. It happened a long time ago. The trouble is, if you're in a litigious environment, then actually having evidentiary material available is pretty thin. People have to continually keep telling their story. That's re-traumatising. So the whole purpose of having a pastoral response was try to give people an option when they didn't have one. Now, I totally accept that there's been a bleeding of the two issues and at times a major confusion, and at times lawyers on both sides, church and the other side, have made it into a litigation exercise, and you sometimes wonder. Interestingly too, if we want to get into detail, from the minimal research that we've done so far, individuals, when it comes to financial settlement, Towards Healing versus other processes, have relatively got the same sort of money in their pocket. It's the other processes that add 30% for the lawyers. There is quite an incentive for a lot of things to be settled away from Towards Healing, but at the same time, it's not good enough the way we've got things at the moment. It is inadequate. And we're signalling that in the submission.
Francis, what's the long-term outcome for the church in all this? The damage is immense. As I said to you a moment ago, Jason Parkinson was on the program just on Tuesday. He talked about the horrendous toll that this has taken on his clients' lives. And that, of course, has been mirrored in the legal processes and some of those compensation payments. But can the church feasibly hope to regain credibility through approaches like this? Or do you accept that a sizeable measure of that credibility is simply gone for good, and that's the collateral damage as much as anything?
That's a really good question. I don't think I have an answer, except my gut instinct is that people like me and the job we're doing are simply saying to people, keep an open mind, watch what we do, don't get too hung up about what we say. I think the church's credibility has been damaged, no question, maybe for this generation, no question. Mm-hmm. And it's Herculean, the task, to turn that around. But to be honest with you, that's really not the goal here. The goal, from where I sit, is to put something in place that's fair and pastoral.
And transparent?
Exactly. That's, those words are in our submission about transparency, accountability, oversight, independence. We go on. Sure, this is about responding to what's happened to people who are the victims here. I mean, the church's credibility, well, that'll have to look after itself. I mean, that's not the gig. The gig is about those that have been damaged.
Francis Sullivan, always good to have you here. Thank you very
much
for your time. Francis Sullivan, Chief Executive of the Truth, Justice and Healing Council. Stay with me here on 666 ABC Canberra Mornings, because coming up after the 10 o'clock news, you'll hear from Garth Nix and Morris Gleitzman about readers and writing, and it's a terrific wide-ranging interview. 10 degrees here in town, and news time now, it's just coming up towards 10 o'clock.